Welcome to Seeing Into Being Summit, spiritual insights and stories to awaken the golden age in your heart, mind, and daily life.
Hello, Judy. Om Shanti. Welcome to this wonderful program, Seeing Into Being.
Om
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. It's very exciting to interview you because we're both in the same country. You're in Calgary, I'm in Montreal. We know each other very well. And we probably will go to Golden Age also together. You know that, right?
I have a secret suspicion.
Yeah, so
which is lovely. It's lovely.
Many, many births. So I'm quite excited to ask you a few questions on your journey and your reflection on the Golden Age. So we could go really to the same place when I know where you're going.
Exactly.
That would be useful. Mm-hmm. So, Judy, let me start with reminding you or taking you back to your early days in Gyan, and I remember those early days too, and I was with you at the time, but trying to remember when this concept of a golden age, you know, going to happen very, very soon with these deities and the perfect world, when these images started to be presented to you, can you remember a little bit what was your reaction, how you thought and felt about it?
Yeah, I remember actually a specific line in Murli, because, you know, it was sort of a lot of flowers and fruits and diamonds and things, and really trying to ground that and make it meaningful and practical and really integrate into life for myself. So I remember there was Murli, where Baba was going into the details of the Golden Age, and he talked about, he was going on for a while, and then he mentioned about the golden silk of the dress. And it really surprised me because I suddenly had this experience of the feeling, the very tactile feeling of that golden silk, but more importantly, what my character was like as I was wearing that dress, the level of dignity I had as I was wearing that dress. So it seemed like it was about the golden silk, but it was really much deeper than that. And it had such an impression on me. It really felt like the golden age came to life from the inside out. And I sort of really kind of continued to go into the experience of golden age from that direction. It's, of course, very beautiful, but what's so beautiful is the level of dignity and royalty and grace within the soul, and that deeply touches me. So it's why I stick around, just to achieve that kind of character.
Waiting for that golden silk sari.
Yes. Well, I don't know if it'll be a sari.
Might be.
But something very royal.
How did it evolve over the years? How did it grow on you from that experience? How did you build on your reflection and experiences of Golden Age over the years?
It's interesting because Baba's always trying to suggest that this is something within our memories, so really activating those memories and developing, if you will, a button or an access code that will allow that memory to keep refining. And the access code, the button, has always been connected to my first experience of coming to Baba when, you know, he says, I'm offering you heaven on the palm of my hand. And he says something very simple. He says, you are a soul. And what exploded inside was he is offering self-respect. He's offering a world of respect. And as much as I keep focusing on that as the seed of that world, it feels like the memories of that world at the level of personal experience and interaction keep refining. And I'll be honest, it also keeps refining just within the family, watching the quality of our interaction keep elevating collectively. When I go to Madhuban, I don't know how to describe to people when I come back what happened. I can't necessarily say I met God or whatever the case, but I feel so comfortable saying I experienced heaven. because the quality of interaction just keeps elevating within the family, and that's helping me to more deeply understand what that golden age is going to be like.
And what about now? Do you still think about golden age, connect with it, make a bridge between the new world and the heaven with the deities and the crown and your hectic day-to-day activities?
I do. I am a big proponent of integration. Not that I need to make time for my spirituality, but I'm sort of fascinated with the idea of integrating spirituality into even the ordinary or even the hectic. And golden age means to me every breath is sacred. So making seemingly ordinary moments or busy moments or moments of doingness into sacred is that feeling of integration, of bringing golden age to life in a very practical way. Even when doing crazy schedules, whatever the case, if I can use the methods Bob has given, which are very internal, to make it sacred, I feel like I'm still on track, still with the program, because I'm aware that that's really what I'm studying for, is for that status. Just bringing the sacred into my day-to-day life.
I know that some seniors told us they were not very visual. In your case, I think you are very visual because you work with graphics and you've been designing some of the most beautiful blessings and posters and everything that you've been playing with for different places all around the world. So how do you connect maybe the visual part of Golden Age? Is something that is important to you to visualize, to bring your mind into something visual when you connect with the Golden Age?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting question because I know I am prone to visualization. And yet when I think of Golden Age, oddly enough, the visualization or the seeing seems to come through more of feelings, which then have perhaps a visual connected to it. Or the feeling is far more intriguing to me. So it's like I am feeling through the third eye. I think we do everything through the third eye. We see and feel and listen and perhaps eat, I don't know. But at the confluence age, it feels like everything happens through that third eye, but feeling through the third eye. And it's more, you know, like, yes, definitely in meditation, these incredible visuals might happen, but what makes it meaningful to me is what is the feeling connected to it. And it's always trying to access the capacities within the soul. So that feeling is very much connected to Golden Age for me, a time when the capacities are in full blossoming.
How does it translate afterwards for your personal efforts or your self-transformation? How do you connect the future with your transformation now?
Well, it's interesting. There was an exercise we did a few years ago here at the center, and it was about, and it was very visual, so, I think maybe creative is the word, how to remain creative, and it will have visual aspect to it. But it was about discovering this sort of sacred stones idea, which sounds very mystical. I know it's not meant to be. But imagining a diamond, and each corner of the diamond is held down by a sacred stone, and a unique experience of the self that's quite sacred, and is a touchstone for moving one into that sort of golden aged experience. And it asks four questions, trying again to bring the stage of the self, of the original form, to life. The first one we're familiar with, it's who am I, but in a very qualitative way. So just one or two qualities to answer that question, who am I? And it's the qualities that when I'm in that feeling, that experience, I feel extremely close to Baba, very close to God. It's like an umbilical cord between me and God. And the second question was, what feeds me? Again, a quality. It might be truth, whatever the case. But the last two questions were really interesting. What moves me? And again, qualities, but, you know, thinking about when, even before Brahman life, when you just saw someone, even from a distance, and there was something about the feeling of their stage that would really move me. And when I feel that in myself, I feel very real and grounded. So what moves me? And these were along the lines of nobility, royalty, grace. And the last one is what honors me. What moves me is about bringing my spirituality into action. And what honors me is the quality of my interaction with others. And I remember when we were doing this experience and really taking time to honestly identify those feelings, those qualities. If I sit in the middle of that diamond that's held down by those four corners, there's almost this instant emergence of the golden aged form. And I do use that even now. I still have the little cards, and it's a very simple exercise, very qualitative. So there's a spiritual foundation, but really bringing it into a living, feeling, breathing form.
So would you say that you connect with this concept of the Golden Age more on a question of values and state of mind, consciousness, that you're developing now? So it's not so much something you see where I'm going to be that in the future, but you try to bring the image of the future in your present effort. Is that a little bit the
idea? Yeah, absolutely. I think you've really articulated it well. Definitely. What's the qualitative experience? I mean, one thing that appeals to me so deeply about Baba's approach is obviously inside out, but seed and flower, if you will. He just speaks seed language. He focuses on the seed so much. And what is the seed of a deity flower is really just soul consciousness. And so if I can get the seed and really care for that seed now, the idea, and it's very underground, very incognito, but care for it now, then it will automatically blossom into this deity flower. So everything's contained in the seed. It's just not, obviously, in that, as you said, pure body form. But the insides, getting the insides into place, what's going on inside of a deity, is something I really enjoy focusing on, the quality inside. So back to that golden silk is the container. But what's inside of that container, I really feel I like to focus on in this birth.
That's very interesting in terms of what we experience and how we transform ourselves. But do you wonder sometimes how it's going to really happen? Do you sometimes question, we're all still making effort. We still go through our, you know, sanskaras. Some seem to be very, very attached to their old sanskaras. And I don't know how many have reached the golden age of sanskaras, but I haven't seen too many around. So do you wonder sometimes if we're really going to make it?
I do question, you know, it feels like there's a 100-meter jump we have to make. We've got like 5 meters under our belt. So one of the BKs that I am here with, she's a nurse and obviously in interaction with doctors, and have met those studying to be doctors. And I always used to wonder about that. Like, they go to school and they study theory and stuff, and I assume cracking happened, but I never really understood when that leap happens where you're alone with someone on an operating table and you're a doctor. I think it does feel like there's some kind of leap, but I'm also aware that we are so microscopic in how we are looking at ourselves now that perhaps we're not fully objective as to what we have achieved. Something that I used to experience in previous things, one of them was dance, ballet. And it was always remarkable in ballet class because you'd be looking at your peers and they were absolutely phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. But I knew that inside, all that they were aware of is, what do I still need to look to work on? And that was the feeling of the teaching situation as well. In a dance class, you are rarely rarely complimented. It's extremely rare. The entire situation is correction, correction. So internally, they're like, oh my gosh, I have so much I need to fix. And yet, looking objectively, I thought, you are so incredible. So I don't know how objective we are as well in terms of our self-examination. And that is good in that we will, there's always more that we can do to obviously grow, but also might skew our capacity to know exactly where we sit on this journey.
So you must have felt as if Baba was a quite interesting dance teacher, because he keep correcting us all the time as well, no?
Exactly, exactly. I'm used to that. I appreciate it's part of benevolence. There's so many, I mean, it's not the subject of this particular theme, but there are so many parallels between dance class and this spiritual journey.
Well, do you see yourself dancing in golden age as well?
Potentially.
With your golden silk.
Yeah, exactly. You've got it. You have the entire visual package. Yeah.
Right. Well, one thing that really, I think, puzzles us a little bit is, as if, you know, when we take birth in our Brahmin life, we need some very powerful experiences and reference points, like golden age with the crown and the golden palaces. You know, the love for Baba, Brahma Baba, daddies, everything gets quite into the extreme. Then we go through the roller coaster of Brahmin life with service and clashes of sanskaras and everything. Is there going to be, in your opinion, a need for another phase in our transformation so that we can really take that leap you were talking about earlier, where you will find yourself one day alone with your patient and have to save the life of that patient as a doctor? So do you have any insight in what kind of phase could that be, what is needed to bring us to that next level?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And of course, I don't know how drama will twist and turn. But I've always felt, you know, this, these subjects we have in the study and how we view them, what they're for, and one of the most interesting, which is ideally the last one in the series, service, it feels like most of the time service is still part of just dharana or self-development. But when it actually becomes service, when I've reached some critical or baseline level of contentment or fullness, I wonder if we'll be in situations that will serve us to draw something out of us, the capacities that there that we really wouldn't feel the stretch to emerge until we were put into that situation. I remember once I was ironically teaching a fitness class, and there was one soul in the class who had a history of epileptic seizures, and if anyone's worked with this particular condition, they know that it's in a gray zone. Although there's altered consciousness, you don't necessarily call an ambulance. It depends on the person. They might have expressed a desire to not have an ambulance call. They may have that on file with the facility if it's a common occurrence. So this soul had that request. In fact, their request was, do not call an ambulance. Get the class up and running as soon as possible, was their personal request. So I remember teaching the class, and so the situation is you've got very loud, crazy kind of music, a room full of people jumping up and down. There's a lot going on the physical level, and suddenly I notice the soul is down in the back of the room having a seizure, and you really are the primary responder. There is no one else really around, and there's no radio system to call anyone. So all I remember is, I'm sort of shocked that it went down this way. I think it's very hopeful that it did. But literally, I don't know if I remember Baba so much as just touched that feeling of peace inside, is all I can say. As if all this time spent with the trainer, that response was available. And I can't recall the details of what happened, but I remember addressing the people in the class, working with the individual having the seizure, giving everyone's directions, but it was extremely calm. And if anyone's worked with a seizure, it tends to be a very disturbing experience for those who are witnessing it. But everything was so calm. It's sort of like observing this, wondering what is going on, and yet realizing this could work, this training we're getting, this spiritual training, that I never really would have known this if I hadn't been thrown into the situation. So seeing these, witnessing these incredible, these glimpses of what is possible in so-called critical or dire circumstances, I do wonder if that might be part of creating that leap.
Well, I hope it won't be that dramatic for all of us in order to take that leap. Although we heard it will be quite dramatic at the end.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, right. Maybe we'll just be into electroshocks and become a deity.
Yeah. You can do that. Yes.
I'm sure something will happen. Just a last little question before we ask you to take us into a little moment of reflection. Is there anything that really for you makes a natural connection with this notion of golden age? And we use the word golden age, but let's talk, you know, future world or this state of perfection. What triggers in you easily sometimes this kind of feeling of the future?
When we refer to the efforts of Dadiji, Dadi Prakashmani, and amazing, first off, to be able to summarize someone's Brahman life and in Brahma Baba's case in three words, that's always amazing to me. But it's similar with Dadiji, the idea of her spiritual efforts seem to collect around this idea of self-respect and respect for others. And the golden age, the pure world, being a world of respectocracy, I think is sometimes the word that's used. And when I heard that kind of articulation, description of golden age, it really came to life for me. I really sort of to remember, like, yeah, that I long for that type of world, and that as the center element of the world. And it's everything else can come from that, the beautiful castles, whatever. But that idea of self-respect and respect for others as a centerpiece, as the seed of that world, really makes it quite meaningful and real for me. And I can see all the other pieces coming from that. Even, you know, if Baba speaks, as he often does, about the samskaras within the soul and samsara and that connection he makes, that makes it really come to life for me, again, from the inside out, but specifically a world where there is self-respect and respect for others. And that's something that definitely I can focus on or see, look towards right now.
Wow. So I will definitely remember that word, respectocracy. Is that how you say it?
I think with the French accent, yes, that's...
By the way, you should know that in Golden Age, everyone has a French accent. So
I thank you for clarifying.
Part of the prerequisite to go to Golden Age, you need a little French accent.
That must be so beautiful, because it's a beautiful accent.
Right. So, Judy, let's go into the depth of silence and deep into your imprints of the Golden Age and see how you can share a few words where we can contemplate together this beautiful world waiting for us.
All right. Baba has many different names, and one of them is the gardener, the master of the garden. His speciality is being able to plant seeds and care for those seeds and through that spiritual care the garden of heaven emerges. this unique connection the master of the garden has with each child, each soul. Through sacred divine vision, he can see the soul, see the speciality of the soul, the beauty in the heart of the soul. And through his sight, through believing in what he sees in me, I begin to feel myself reclaiming that inner throne of self-respect. God changes the world through a look. Through his seeing the truth in me, my original being as a deity, a divine, sacred being, with fully blossomed self-respect, that seed is planted deep within, just through his vision. God seeing me restores my being divine. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti, and thank you, Sister Judy. I think you just created one of the most beautiful poster of the Golden Age on the spiritual level. So beautiful artwork on the spiritual way, and thank you so much for sharing with everyone today your feelings, thoughts, and experiences of the Golden Age. So thank you for being with us.
A pleasure. Thank you.